Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
WGR.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton.
Sports Radio 550.
He's the consummate pro.
It's John Clayton.
And Mom, I'm done with my segment.
With Chopin the Bulldog.
John Clayton is being brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Welcome back. We'll have John in just a moment. 6 o'clock tonight, Sabres pregame, Sabres at Florida. Joe just ran it down. We'll see who the goalie is. Sam Reinhart and the Panthers, then 7:05 faceoff. Sabres are home all week next week for 3 games and then out to the Midwest. Winnipeg, Minnesota, that kind of a list.
Don't forget about Brandon Montour tonight, by the way.
Brandon Montour revenge game.
Yep.
I did forget about Brandon Montour. You caught me. Sometimes, you know, you say, don't forget it. Like, I didn't forget about him. I just didn't mention him. Here I did, though. I did forget about him.
Right. Yep.
Thank you.
I did forget about Devon Levi during that last segment where we were talking long and hard about the Sabres goaltending prospects. And, like, he's killing it at Northeastern. And I don't think his name came out of my mouth. In fact, I'm sure it didn't. And as soon as we got done, I said to Joe, wow, I should have mentioned Devon Levi. I got some Twitter feedback that said the same thing. So my bad on that. He's having a great year at Northeastern.
I think Joe did. I think he was mentioned there briefly. But
yeah, Joe said he mentioned him. Yeah. But
yep.
I felt bad that I didn't say his name. So
John Clayton with us. John, you familiar with the player Devon Levi?
I am not. No.
No. Or Brandon Montour?
Well, for that because he didn't mention him.
Right. See, John?
That's an oversight by me. I don't know who he is.
Right. People are counting on us.
Good job. Seattle 7, Buffalo. Seattle, the Kraken have swept the Sabres here in their first 2 months of existence.
So what's the league-wide look at what they're saying about the Kraken?
I think the right answer is pretty simple. Their record is bad, but their team isn't. Their goaltending has been bad. So there's a lot of luck in that. And if they get good goaltending, suddenly they might be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. All I know is that they're real popular here in town.
Yeah, that's good. So how was your Thanksgiving?
It was quiet, but good. I mean, we had the nice part that we just stayed here at home. And our neighbors across the pond, we have a man-made pond right next to the the lake that they came over, and she brought us turkey and all kind of good food.
That's good. And Rashad Penny did not drop by.
He did not drop by, no. Well, he was injured, so.
He's injured. He's always injured.
I mean, he's down the street, but again, he wasn't able to walk down because of his leg injuries.
Maybe.
Right. Well, John, we've got what looks like maybe the game of the week in the league. No disrespect to, I don't know, the Chargers and the Bengals or anything that might be going on in the NFC, but Bills and Patriots, there's a lot of intrigue here. The Patriots, are they back? They're in first place. The Bills were supposed to have taken over last year, and now they're behind New England, not significantly by a game here or half game, really. I don't know. What are your large picture thoughts on this matchup, and we get into more specifics as we go here, but it's a pretty juicy game.
Yeah, but if you certainly go over the last month or so, Patriots are playing better, and that probably gives them a little bit of an edge. But at some point in the way this season has gone, you can go on a 6-game winning streak and just come out and lay an egg. We watched a good Buffalo team lay an egg against Jacksonville and lay some eggs and everything else. So I think it's going to be a great matchup without any question. And whoever wins, that has the better chance to win the division.
Pretty much everybody I'm hearing and reading is saying, like, the Patriots are legit. And, like, I can certainly buy that. The numbers are great. The record's obviously very good. But I think that would be surprising to many fans.
Yeah, because, again, it's with a rookie quarterback. You can see that they're a good team. It's just a matter how a rookie quarterback can take him as far as he has, and he's been incredible. I mean, he's put up great numbers. He's put up a lot of great things. And, you know, say what you want about Bill Belichick. I mean, he was aggressive enough to go get two $12.5 million tight ends, an $11 million wide receiver, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, and then he fixed up the defense, particularly with Matthew Judon. I mean, they did the best offseason that probably Bill Belichick has ever had.
John, I think I'll put this mildly here. This fan base does not need New England to be superior again, right?
No, like, agreed.
So soon?
Agreed.
So, yeah. I mean, here, this, I mean, not necessarily the Super Bowl, but at least the division. Like, this was supposed to be the Bills' year.
Yeah.
And maybe it still will be, but, like, the pressure's on right now.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, certainly the Bills have to play better. I mean, they need to play better. And so that has to come into account. But, you know, they still have Josh Allen. They still have Sean McDermott. They still have a good defense. And so now it's a matter of just rallying and doing the best they can.
I feel like this is a big week for McDermott and maybe Brian Daboll as well, John. This offense danced on New England last December on Monday Night Football in
right.
Foxborough. And, you know, so they had all the answers there. But, of course, you know, you already highlighted it. New England, not only did they get guys back from COVID, but they added Judon, most notably maybe. Barmore up front, too, is having a nice year from Alabama. So they've improved there. So with that said, I mean, Belichick's reputation speaks for itself of confusing not just rookie quarterbacks, but quarterbacks. And so I feel like Daboll is in a spot here, too, where he can enhance his candidacy as eventually becoming a head coach in the league if he can help Josh Allen solve Bill Belichick on Monday night and put them back in first place.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think the big thing is that you know, I think that he needs to have a little bit more balance on offense as opposed to throwing 37, 38 passes, because I think you know, the book on the Bills is that, you know, particularly in the last month or so, people have figured out what they're going to do and have figured out how to stop it. And so now it's a matter that, you know, they need to do some different things. And I'd imagine if Brian Daboll is a good enough offensive coordinator to be able to figure out that he needs to do some different things. And if that's going to be the case, he needs to do it against a Patriot team that can pretty well cover anything, and a Bill Belichick that knows just about everything about everybody.
John, it feels a little bit, too, like a game where, like it happens, you know, when styles meet.
Yeah.
We could be talking about, you know, run and stop the run again. Plus, we're looking at weather, at least wind, Monday night, which should come as no surprise, a December game here. And, you know, where do you stand on that? I think a lot of old school fans are probably digging, you know, not if their team loses in such a game, but the way Indy plays and Tennessee and the Patriots seem, for the most part, to be in that category. Is that a return to a more run-oriented style that you think will, you know, the trend will continue to grow?
I would think so, yeah. Because, again, when the weather is not good and you got the winds, particularly in Buffalo, I still go back years ago to remember that one game against the New York Giants.
Yep.
When Eli Manning was there and the wind was blowing so hard and how difficult it was to throw the football. And that's going to be the case. Now, in this case, you know, Josh Allen may have a little bit more of an advantage because he's got the strong arm. He knows the stadium. He knows how the winds are going to blow. Where here's Mac Jones. I mean, he knows New England and the winds that might be there and the weather that's going to be up there. But, you know, this could negatively affect him.
John Clayton with us on the Western Hotline. We absolutely do remember that game. That was 2007.
Yeah.
And the Giants were not even, like, that strong coming in, but they would go on to win the Super Bowl that year. And Pro Football Reference has that at 52 degrees, 23-mile-an-hour winds. Bulldog and I would have watched that game on TV here, and it just obviously was a huge factor. Those are the kind of numbers we're looking at for Monday
night.
Yeah,
but I have to think it was much more than 23 miles an hour, because I remember I was at the game, and you just like watch how the wind's blowing. That had to be in the 30s.
Yeah, well, that can happen, right? Like if you have gusts.
Right.
Gusts,
yeah.
I believe, is the word I want here. Gusts.
Well, yeah, because right. What ends up happening is that, and I'm sure Pro Football Reference is looking at the game book and all that stuff, and the game book at the beginning of the game, you know, may say it was 23 miles an hour, but as the game went on, mm-hmm. and it's going to get more, but that may not get, you know, recorded in the one stat for the wins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, Go ahead.
It's not good news, this weather, to me, John. I mean, it you know, New England, we know what they what their style is this year. It's, you know, short passing,
right,
and run the ball, and they've got a great line and all this sort of stuff. You know, the Bills, meanwhile, want to work it downfield and make big plays, and they struggle sometimes being patient. So the weather is not welcomed. I mean, it's not surprising that it would be this way, but it's definitely not what I would consider good news for this matchup.
No, I would agree. I mean, that's why it's such an important game, to be able to take advantage of things. That's where I think, you know, Josh Allen has the advantage over Mac Jones, because he knows how it is in that stadium. You know, he practices in that stadium, and he knows what goes on in that stadium. And so if the wind's going to affect Mac Jones, because, you know, Mac Jones has a good arm, but he doesn't have as good of an arm as Josh Allen, even the short passes could be problematic.
John, who is the team to beat for you right now in the AFC?
I have none.
Nope, none. There's no team to beat. It's too wide open.
No. It's wide open. I mean, again, that's like the standard question that started about a month ago. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? And when you saw, you know, Tampa Bay lose, you saw the Bills lose, and you see all these other teams lose, I just gave up on the idea. It's like, I just got to see it play out.
Interesting. Would you give – how many teams would you give a shot to?
Probably – well, in the AFC, I think you'd have to give about four or five. In the NFC, you'd probably have to give, you know, three or four.
A shot to make it all the way?
Yes.
Would the Bengals be one of those teams?
I don't think so, no.
No.
No, I mean, I think that they're good, but they're not as good as Baltimore. Baltimore would have a better shot. But I think the Bengals have a chance to make a wild card berth.
Right. Those teams are just going to start eating each other. They already started, but they have a very division-heavy schedule here down the stretch.
A lot of the teams do now.
Yeah.
Well, unless Cincinnati is better, then, I mean, they've won big in Baltimore. They've swept the Steelers. And that was a blowout on Sunday. So, I mean, they did lose pretty badly to the Browns, but I watched that game, and I thought that was like sort of a fluky turnover kind of game. So, I don't know. I would want to include the Bengals, but I don't know, maybe they're the Bengals. So
yeah, but again, it's their first year doing this.
Yeah.
And you saw it was like in Buffalo's first year of trying to do it. You know, it's nice to be able to, you know, sit up there and say, hey, I think we're ready. And then all of a sudden you get into the playoffs, and the next thing you know, you don't make it. And so it's like that's where I think the Bengals are going to be. I think they can make the playoffs. Maybe they can win a playoff game, but I can't see them winning two playoff games or three playoff games to be able to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, pretty interesting game for them this week with the Chargers, John. That's another team that probably you I might guess, are not including in your four or five Super Bowl contenders, but I feel like there was a point this season where I might have challenged that because they looked like they could be. So, you know, they're another one of these schizo teams. They've got a great, super talented quarterback and some talented players on both sides of the ball. Like, so, I don't know, if they can beat Cincinnati, maybe we'll be talking about the Chargers next week.
Yeah, but again, I think they're all along, I thought going into the season, you know, they and Denver were a good chance to be wild card teams. And so far, I think that's still the case. Then, of course, last week, you know, Denver took care of the Chargers and put them back a little bit, but they still have Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert's sensational.
John, what is going to happen with the Seahawks?
I don't know. Good question. I mean, I don't see a trade of Russell Wilson, because if you trade Russell Wilson, next thing you know, they're going to be a 3-4 win team for 3-4 years, and I don't think anybody in this town who works at the team is going to want that. I would imagine that Pete Carroll is going to be back, but right now everything's up in the air because of their bad 3-8 start.
I think the strangest thing to me, or maybe the worst feature of the Seahawks, is this consistently slow pace. Like every week they're running the fewest plays in the league, and some of that is like being inefficient, but it's also somewhat by design. I mean, Carroll is always right there with run the ball more whenever they, you know, are in a slump. And geez, like you've got Metcalf and to a certain extent Lockett. Just what a dangerous player Metcalf is. And I don't know, like what is said in Seattle after games where he gets one catch?
Yeah, are they putting it more on Russell? Because like even Pete did the other day, because Metcalf was open about 3, 4, 5 times.
Yes.
And Russell missed him.
Yes, or didn't throw it to him. Right.
You know, where the criticism of Pete is running the football, that hasn't been the case this year. They haven't been able to run the football. They've been throwing it more, particularly since Russell Wilson came back from the thumb injury, middle finger injury, and you know he just hasn't been effective. He tries to go into a rhythm, and the rhythm doesn't necessarily take hold, and so that's been a problem.
Do you think Carroll has full say over whether he's back?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Jody Allen's the owner, and Paul Allen, the late Paul Allen, always stayed away from it. He let the football people make football decisions, but right now the main decision maker is still Pete Carroll.
So if he wants to be the coach of the Seahawks next year, he will be, you think?
I think so.
Okay.
You can't guarantee it, particularly in a season like this, but I still think that he'll be back.
It's a tough situation with no first-round pick.
Oh, I know.
Kind of like the Texans.
They do have a lot of cap room.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a desirable place. Okay.
Right. You already said you don't foresee them trading Wilson because of what it would mean down the road, but can you not foresee a scenario where Wilson, I mean, there's a lot of noise about this summer, where he says, get me out of here. Like, I don't want to be here anymore, and sort of forces their hand.
He never said that. He never asked to be traded. His agent, Mark Rogers, kept on trying to put it out that, you know, that's a consideration. But even Mark Rogers says, no point did Russell Wilson ask to be traded.
He said he didn't maybe say it, John. I don't dispute what you're saying, but he sounded like it. Like he said, I was tired of getting hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, most people heard him and thought he was ready to move, but that would have depended on where and, you know, maybe.
Yeah, because, like, for example, Mark Rogers put out like four or five teams. You know, put out the Dallas Cowboys, but you know they were going to go back to Dak Wilson. He put out the New Orleans Saints. They didn't have the cap room to be able to pick him up. Pick the Raiders, and of course, how do you like to play behind that offensive line when they traded three starters on the offensive line and don't have Richie Incognito back? Then he talked about Chicago, and Chicago you knew was going to be terrible. So it's like he put out all those teams as possibilities, but they didn't make any sense. And so then when you start to look at the landscape for next year, it's like, okay, who has the draft choices to be able to do something? Because, I mean, you probably have to get three first-round picks for Russell Wilson. I mean, you can talk about maybe the New York Giants, but they can't garner up three first-round picks. Right now, I don't think they can do it. But in the end, I think that you know, he still has a chance to stay here, and he hasn't asked to be traded.
The Giants do have two early picks.
Do have two first-round picks, and then maybe one next year.
That would help.
They could do it. But also, it's like if you're Seattle, you're conceding everything.
John, any questions for us?
How's the hockey team doing?
I mean,
well, they got swept by Seattle, who's losing to just about everybody else, John. So there's
John. Like, I don't know how seriously you're interested in this, but what they are in the middle of still 10 going on 11 years without the playoffs is all pretty much unprecedented in that league. Like, this is a league where for many years most teams made the playoffs. They expanded many times, and now it's more like, you know, other sports where it's about half. That's what, like basketball.
Yeah.
But still, with so much randomness in the nature of the game and draft lotteries, even one here, it's just incredible that they haven't even really come close in a long time. So historic.
Yeah, it is. Hey, and particularly for a city that for a while had the longest stretch of non-playoff years in football to now go through a stretch in hockey. It's remarkable.
Right. I thought I jumped in there where I shouldn't have, but I thought you might say, like, that loves hockey. I mean, we really.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
We talk about hockey, and how many on your radio stations do they ever? Like, maybe Seattle's news.
I mean,
maybe.
It's more of a football town, but they do talk. They do talk about it, you know, occasionally.
Sure. Well, so do we.
Yeah.
John, thank you. Sounds like you might be a little under the weather, so I hope you feel better.
I hope so, too. Thanks.
Thank you. John Clayton.
All right. That's our man, John Clayton, on the Western Hotline, and his appearances here on WGR every Thursday are brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.